2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll begin with verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bows and arrows. And he took unto him bows and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. On Elisha's deathbed, he preaches this one last final message, and it's about having faith in the Lord, and it's about having confidence in His Word. It's about trusting the Lord. And that's what we want to preach this morning, is having confidence in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning, and that You would be attentive and active in the service. I pray for each student that's here from the school this morning, each teacher, each parent, Lord, each member of the church, each visitor, that You would open our hearts to Your Word, that You'd make us tender and soft, Lord, conformable, Lord, that we might have our lives shaped around Your Word and however the Spirit would lead us. We pray, Lord, that we would just have better faith, trust You more, have more confidence in You and Your Word. Lord, help us to see that in the flesh we have no strength. Lord, the only strength that we have is the message of the Gospel and the power of Jesus Christ and His Spirit in our lives. And help us, Lord, to trust You. Help us to look to You in our times of need. Help us to look to You and give thanks in our times of victory. And Lord, look to You in our times of struggle. We just pray that we would see You high and lifted up, and that we would see Your Word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Having confidence in the Lord. Three things I want to bring out this morning. Number one, a fearful king. A fearful king. Now, as our text opens here in 2 Kings chapter 13, we see in Joash, a terrified king. Now, Elisha's lying on his deathbed. He's on the verge of dying. And the thought of losing Elisha is seemingly more than Joash can bear. He says here in verse 14, he says, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Joash realized that, you know what? A good Christian man of God was the best defense his country had. He realized that Elisha was the best defense he had. Oh, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You can never underestimate the advantage that you have when you've got a man of God on your side. You think about that? You've got men of God, women of God, faithful students and faithful stewards of God's Word. When you're on your side, you've got an advantage. But boy, Joash was about to lose him. Joash was about to lose Elisha. And you see in this verse, he's afraid. What's going to happen when Elisha's gone? We're doomed. He says, we'll surely be defeated. And you see Joash weeping over Elisha. You know, there's so many things that discourage and terrify the child of God in this world. There's so many things that cause us to be afraid. So many times we feel like Joash that, you know, we're ready to throw the towel in. I mean, this was an unbearable circumstance. This was an unbearable loss to Joash when he was going to lose Elisha. But I want you to notice this morning Elisha's response, because it's so significant. Listen to verse 15. And Elisha said unto him, Take bows and arrows. Take bows and arrows. Verse 16. And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. He tells Joash to put his hand on the bow. And then it says at the end of verse 16, And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. This is so significant because here's Elisha, and Elisha's on his deathbed, and here's what he's saying to Joash. Listen, don't weep for me. You take your bows and arrows because I'm going to be gone. I'm leaving. But you've got a battle to fight. You've still got a war to fight. there are times of loss and there's times of struggle, and surely the loss of Elisha seemed to be more than he could bear, but Elisha said, no, you get your bows and arrows. You get ready to go and fight. You get ready to keep going and keep with this battle. Well, there's so much here. Two things to note that I want you to notice from these couple of verses. First of all, the work of the Lord is always going on. And the work of the Lord always continues on. Elisha knew that. Elisha knew that his death was not going to be the end of what God had for Joash. It was not going to be the end of what God had for Israel. Elisha knew that. God had great dealings and great workings for His people. We need to always remember to stay faithful to the Lord. Stay faithful to His work regardless of the situation. And listen, I never mean to downplay anybody's situation. I never want to do that. I never want to say that your discouragement isn't important and your trial's not important, because it is. You know, when you look at someone, the discouragement and the trials they have, those are the biggest things in their world. Sometimes it's, you know, a physical loss of a family member or someone like here with Elisha. Sometimes there's an illness. Sometimes there's a physical need. Sometimes there's a financial need. There's sometimes that people emotionally are struggling and trying to overcome things. There are really important losses in this world that we face. You know what Elisha said? But you get your bows and arrows. You get those bows, you get those arrows, and you get ready for the fight. You know, there's times when we cannot imagine what tomorrow holds. But you know what Elisha said? He said, keep fighting. He said, keep fighting, and you keep going. No matter what happens today, Joash, you make sure that tomorrow you're ready to fight. You make sure tomorrow you've got your bows. Not only that, but secondly, always remember, you know what? You're in the Lord's hands. Now, there's something significant that he says here. He tells Joash to put his hands on the bow and arrows. So Joash does. He gets his bows and his arrows out. And you know what Elisha does? He takes his hands and he puts them on Joash's hands. That's significant. Elisha's the man of God. And when Joash had his hands on the bows and Elisha put his hands on there, that's significant. That's showing, listen, you're not alone in this. My hands being on your hands, Joash, is symbolic that, you know what? You've got God protecting you. You've got God's hands over your hands. You're not out there fighting this battle alone. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20, you know, Joash didn't have his hands alone on the bow. But Elisha put his hands, showing the man of God, showing that God had his hands in that work. And his hands would cover Joash's. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Now, sometimes that's hard to understand when you're the one that's got the shield and the sword on the battlefield. But he says, listen, you don't worry. You don't worry about circumstances. You don't worry about odds or numbers. He says, don't be dismayed. Don't be worried or fearful because of the great multitude with them. He said, the battle is the Lord's. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Folks, we always need to remember to be faithful because, man, when we're out there fighting and we're fighting the Lord's battle, you know what? It's not just our hands on that bow. God's hands are protecting us. God's hands are on that bow with us. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. And I know that Brother Wayne has used this verse before. I've seen it posted here. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. There you have that twofold bringing together that we always talk about as Baptists. You have undoubtedly and unmistakably the sovereign power and help of God. Safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. And you've got to trust the Lord because that's where your safety is. But he said also the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Here's what happens. All right, Joash, you get your bows and arrows and you get out there and you get ready to fight. You fight this battle. You've got to go to the front lines and fight. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my hands on you. I'm going to let you know that God is in this. God's hands are on you, and you're not alone. And that you have the power of God behind you. I tell you, folks, you prepare your horse, and you get your armor ready, and you get out there, and you get ready to fight. But always know the Lord's with you. Safety's of the Lord. And we trust the Lord for that. We have confidence in the Lord for that. See, we don't have to worry about going, and when we're doing the work of the Lord, we don't have to worry about being alone, even if we're just one person. we always know that the Lord's with us. And there's no odds that can't be overcome. You know, you plus the Lord make a majority. Think about that. If it's just you and the Lord, you got them whooped. No, if you're going out there and the Lord is with you, and you're trusting Him, and you have your confidence in Him, wow, safety is of the Lord. Always remember to be faithful, no matter what happens. Joash was going to lose Elisha. And we see a fearful king, a terrified king. But Joash, you've got to go fight. You've still got to go fight. When you're out there on the battlefield and you draw back that bow, Joash was going to remember that Elisha had put his hands on him. And he was going to remember, oh, we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust Him. Look in the book of Job, chapter 13. Job chapter 13, verse 15, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Well, you can't go through any more trying circumstances than that, but yet I will trust Him. I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Well, we need to trust the Lord. And when we become like that fearful king, we need to take our hands, we need to put them to the work. And you know what? There's something when God's people get involved in God's work, God starts to put His hands over them. And you just see blessing after blessing after blessing. I don't know what battlefield needs to be fought today. I don't know what your battle is, and I don't know what your struggle may be. But I'm telling you, here's what Elisha said. I know you're going to weep for me. Get your bows and arrows. Because there's still a battle to be fought. There's still a victory and a war that needs to be won here. A fearful king. Now look back in 2 Kings again in chapter 13. Boy, Joash was terrified. He was terrified. Oh, my father, what are we going to do? You go fight. Go fight. Get ready for this war. Get ready for this battle. A fearful king. Number two, a faithful prophet. A faithful prophet. Elisha was faithful to the end. Faithful to deliver God's word. And as he put his hands on Joash's hands, he began to share with him even more. In 2 Kings 13, verse 17, he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. It's interesting to note another couple things here in this verse. There's something I struggle with. But verse 17, he says, and he said, open the window eastward. You know, when you're in the Lord's hands, and when you're putting your heart into the work, and when you've got your bow and your arrow ready, and you're trusting the Lord, and you're ready to do His will, you know what it says? It says He shows you right where to go. He shows you right where to fight. Elisha said, hey, open the window eastward. You open the window, but you do it eastward. You know, sometimes you just need to see that. That when you're trusting the Lord, and when you're ready to fight, when you're ready to do His work, He shows you what to do. And He'll show you where to go. He'll show you what His will is. Elisha didn't just say, hey, go open the window and look out. Go open the window and get ready. No, he says, listen, open the window eastward. He shows him where he's going to go, and he shows him how to face that problem head on. You go out there and you look where those Syrians are eastward. I tell you what, I struggle sometimes. Because you know what? I want to be zealous. And I think sometimes I'm zealous. And I want to do good, and I want to do the work of the Lord. But you know what? There's times when I'm not praying the way that I should, and when I'm not trusting the Lord the way that I should. Man, I'm just opening windows all over the place. You know what happens when you do that? You start opening the wrong windows, you start fighting the wrong battles. And I am so guilty, and many of us can be, of, man, fighting the dumbest battles in life. And we fight with each other. We fight over little things. Brother Chrisman was preaching last night about, you know, sometimes our lack of cooperation, our lack of helping each other. And we fight so many battles that don't even need to be fought. We're worried about, you know, looking west and looking north and looking south. We're always worried somebody's out to get us. Always worried about watching our backs. Elisha says, no, hey, look here. You trust the Lord. You get your bow and your arrow when you're ready to fight and trust in the Lord. Open that window eastward. Boy, the Lord will show you where you need to go. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. The Lord will always show you where you need to be. You know, God's will is not some magical, mystical thing that can never be found or comprehended. It's not something that can't be understood. It's not something that can't be found. In fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, Paul would never have told you that if it was something that couldn't be understood. If you couldn't understand what the will of the Lord is, Paul would be saying, "Listen, then you need to do a lot more praying, or you need to do a lot more searching." So, no, he says, "Listen, you can understand what the will of the Lord is. It's not some mystical thing that God never reveals to you or that God doesn't want you to know." No, God says, "Look, open the window eastward," and He shows you what battles you need to fight. I tell you, a lot of times, and I'll be honest, I fight the wrong battles. I get fighting dumb things, fighting battles with the wrong people, the wrong organizations, just the wrong everything. You know, I'm zealous and I want to fight. But you know what? I need to be more trusting. I need to look more through the eyes of faith and trust the Lord to show me where to fight. You know, I don't want to cut off anybody's legs who's on my team. I don't want to cut off anybody's arms that can wield a sword with me. I need help in these battles, and I want to fight on the right side. He says, open the window. Open it eastward. You know, when you're faithful and obedient, He'll show you where to open the window. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 7, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." And 1 Corinthians 16, 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries, but there's always a door open." There's always a door open. A great door. And it's effectual. Now, there's many adversaries. And there's a war to be fought. But there's always a door open. When you trust the Lord and you want to put your hands to His work, you know it's amazing. When you want to do something for the Lord, He'll let you. You know, if you want to serve the Lord, He doesn't say, "Nah." When you want to serve the Lord, He'll let you. And He'll bless you and He'll give you the ability and the means to do it. And do it the right way. It's just amazing. I open the window. Open the window eastward. Open the window eastward. I'm tired of looking out the wrong window. I'm tired of doing it myself and trying to fight my own battles. But you know what? I know, hey, the Lord's in this battle over here. The Lord's in this battle over here to the eastward. I want to fight that battle. So I know if I go over here and fight this battle, I've got His help. And that's just great. Now look back in 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 17 again. He said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. Do it. And look at the end of verse 17. "And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." I want everybody to notice that at the end of verse 17. I want you to notice the contrast as it moves here. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. God wins the battle. You know that? God gets all the glory. And God gets all the victory. All the praise goes to Him because it's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Any battle that you ever win, God won it for you. But I want you to see what He says. The arrow, it's the Lord's deliverance. The Lord wins the battle. But look at the end. "For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek." Never forget that. Look, the victory goes to the Lord. The spoils go to the Lord. Every glory and honor and praise goes to the Lord. "But thou shalt smite them." You know the Lord will use you. Now, it's the Lord's work, and He gets the glory and honor again. The victory is His. It's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, "but thou shalt smite them." You know, the Lord will use you to do it. It may be a work that the Lord wants for His honor and His glory, but He's going to use somebody to do it. He's going to use you to do it. Look in Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. Man, it's just amazing to consider that the Lord is willing to use vessels such as us, insignificant as we are and unprofitable as we are. But Job 22, verse 1, "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, Can a man be profitable unto God? Not really. As he that is wise may be profitable to himself. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Man, look at how insignificant man is. Look at how, in the eyes of God and in the power and majesty of God, how insignificant and small we are. It's weird how proud and obnoxious we can get sometimes when these verses, man, just cut us down to size. But even knowing that, you know what? The Lord uses. The Lord is willing to use us when we will just take our hands to the bow and let Him put His hands on us. He'll use us. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, but thou shalt smite. Thou shalt smite them. Man, there's an awesome work of the world of the Lord to do, and the Bible says that He'll use you. He'll use you to do it. Look in the book of Esther, chapter 4. Brother Chrisman and I were talking about this verse the other day. It's just an awesome verse that the Lord is willing to use and use you. Esther chapter 4. You know the story here. Haman and his evil plot of Satan was wanting to destroy not just Mordecai, but all the Jews, wanted to see them all destroyed. And Mordecai here, he's talking to Esther. In Esther 4 and verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." You see, it's true. But the other part of verse 14 says, listen, "If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Listen, if it's the Lord's work, and if God wants it done, He's going to have it done. Regardless if it's you, Esther, or if it's your descendants, or if it's anybody else in the Jewish kingdom, if the Lord wants it done, the Lord will do it. The Lord will get it done. But He says, but how do you not know that this is your purpose? That this is your time, that this is your time here in this world. Now, if God wants it done, it'll get done. But Esther, how do you know that God's not going to use you to do it? How do you know that God's not going to put His hands on your hands and help you persuade the king and change this? "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Man, he says, how do you know that God's not going to use you and use you? Man, God's got a purpose for us. God is willing to use every one of us. Brother Mark Clark over at West Melton's getting ready to have a seminar here in a few weeks, and I've been assigned the topic for that, the purpose of a church member. There's different messages for his meeting. One's the purpose of a pastor, one's the purpose of preaching, the purpose of a church, and the purpose of a church member. And when he assigned me that topic, and here's one of the first things that came into my mind, the purpose of a church member. It's the first thing I thought of. Have one. Have a purpose. Have a goal. Have a work to do. Have something that you want to do for the Lord. Have an idea in mind. Well, there's so many verses that you can go to. You can talk about where there's no vision, the people perish. You can use so many good illustrations from Scripture. Man, when you think of our purpose, have one. Have a work to do. Man, how do you know that the Lord's not going to use you to do great things? Now look at these young people. How do you know that God's not going to use you to change Forestell, Missouri? Change the state of Missouri? Change this whole country? How do you know? How do you know? You don't know. So you know what you do? Get your bows and arrows. You trust the Lord. You let the Lord put His hands upon you. And you look for the window that the Lord opens. And you take the battle to Him. You take it to Him and you fight and you go where the Lord wants. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. But thou shalt smite. Thou shalt smite. Boy, a faithful prophet. What a message. What a message. You know, Elisha, he's here dying on his deathbed. He's not feeling sorry for himself. He's saying, man, you get that battle and you take it to him. Keep this work going. You keep these good things and this good work going and you fight this battle. What an awesome message. Folks, the Lord uses men. And He'll use you if you'll be a tool in His hand. Never forget, this passage starts out. Elisha's hands are covering Joash's hands, whose hands are on the work. Whose hands are to the work. You put your hands in the Lord's hands, you just watch how He blesses. Put your hands in His hand, you just watch what great things can be done. 2 Kings chapter 13. fearful king, but a faithful prophet. Man, what a message. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The Lord is going to give victory. He's going to help. He's going to give us our needs. But He's not going to just do those things. He's going to use us. He's going to use us. Thou shalt smite. Number three, a failure at Aphek. What an awesome thought that God was going to use Joash. What an exciting time. God has delivered the enemy into his hands. God is going to allow Joash to win this victory. Can you believe that? I'll read verse number 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Man, what an awesome privilege to be used in the service of the Lord. Man, Joash should have been so excited. And then Elisha says, hey, just go shoot your arrows. Boy, and you know what? Joash should have been so excited that he just would have pulled one arrow right after another just out, just firing for excitement, seeing what God had promised and how He was going to use him. But he didn't do that. You know what Joash did? The Bible says he fired off three arrows. He only shot off three of them. Why did he do that? What was Joash thinking when he began to fire these arrows off? Tell you what I think. I think he lost faith. I think Joash, he's excited, man. The Lord's going to win this battle through him. The Lord's going to use him. And Elisha says, shoot your arrows. He just begins to shoot his arrows, begins to fire them off. And he gets that third one done. And just as he's about ready to fire that fourth one, he's thinking, whoa, you know what? I better save a couple of these. I'm going to get down there on that battlefield. I'm not going to have any arrows. I'm going to get down there on that battlefield. I'm going to need these. I know the Lord said He's going to give the victory, but I better make sure that I got a little bit of myself here in reserve. I better make sure I just got a little bit kept back for, just in case. Just in case what? So many times, you know, I really believe the Lord's going to do this, but just in case, you know what that does? That undoes the faith that you said you had. That undoes the faith you said you had, just in case. God's not a God of just in case. God promises victory, God gives victory. God promises defeat sometimes, and He gives defeat. But when God promises, He does. And He asks that we be faithful and that we trust Him. But Joash didn't do that. He lost confidence in what God had promised. Look what Elisha said in verse 19. It says, the man of God was wroth with him. Man, they just had an awesome conversation on what God was going to do. It was an exciting time, and now Elisha's mad at him. What in the world happened here? Elisha's looking at him and saying, oh, you idiot, what are you doing? What happened here? He lost confidence in what God had promised. You know, we do that, don't we? We have so many situations in life, and we have the promises of God and His Word, and we fall so short sometimes of believing them, of really believing them. Let me just give you a couple of examples from the Bible, one that you're familiar with in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Boy, the experience from Egypt down to Mount Sinai and from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea has been just an amazing experience. God's given them His Word. God's given them His covenant. God's given them the tabernacle, a place to worship Him, a place to be with Him. Man, it's just been an awesome experience so far. And here in Numbers chapter 13, they come to Kadesh Barnea. In verse 26, it says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron. This is the report of the spies coming back. And to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Isn't that amazing? And surely it floweth with milk and honey. Hey, how about that? God was right. How about that? God's promises were right. Verse 28. But, that's what nevertheless means, but the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites And the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Look at that. Caleb's not worried about numbers. He's not worried about circumstances and situations. Hey, we are able to overcome it. He says, "Let us go up at once and possess it." Notice that. He doesn't just say, "Let's go fight for it. Let's go possess it." The battle was already in his mind won. If we go up there to fight, we'll possess it. Let's go do it. God's promised. Verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" They're stronger than we are. But God had promised them. God had promised them victory. You know what these people said? They're stronger than God is. That's really what they thought. Chapter 14, verse 6. "And Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search, it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord.'" You see, when they doubted the power of God, and when they lost their faith, and when they lost their confidence in God, Joshua says it was like rebellion. They didn't trust. They didn't believe. "Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Piece of cake. Man, they're bread for us if God's with us. "Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." The Lord's with us. Don't fear them. The Lord had promised that land to the Israelites. Caleb said, "Let's go possess it. Let's go take it now." They said, "No, we can't do that." They saw an obstacle and they lost their faith in God. The walls. But Joshua said, their defense has departed from them. All they wanted to talk about was the walls and the giants. Their defense has departed from them because God's with us. Don't fear. But they lost their confidence in the Lord. And Joash had just been promised that he would have a victory. And just like that, he lost confidence in it. And why is our faith so small? Why is our faith so small sometimes? Where's the confidence and the faith in God that we should have? Where's the confidence and the trust in Him that His promises are sure and real and alive in our lives? Why do we find ourselves in the same situations and struggle with just trusting and just having confidence in the Lord? Man, we've got to have more faith. If there were ever one who was unshakable and unchanging and unmoving, it's God. Why do we put our faith in things that change? You know, we're fickle. Man, we change with the wind. Man, we change daily. Yet we put so much confidence in ourselves. And you know what? We'll change tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to think that this is the right window to fight out of. This is the right way to go. But you know what? Next week we're going to go over here. Because that's just how we are. But you know what? God's not like that. God never changes. If this is right today, it's right tomorrow. If it's God's will today, it's God's will tomorrow. But we fall so short of believing that and having confidence in Him in that. Let me give you another example back in the book of Exodus. Chapter 3. The story you have is of Moses. Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus is at the burning bush. Moses, early in his calling, is not the Moses that many of us know. Moses, early in his calling, or even early here at the burning bush and short time thereafter, you see sometimes quite a lack of faith in him. I just want to show you a couple things. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. "And he said, 'Certainly I will be with thee.'" Here's God speaking to him. "I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee." God says, "I am going to be with you." Now turn over to chapter 4. Remember what God said. "Moses, I'll be with you, and I'll help you." But in chapter 4, verse 1, "And Moses answered and said, 'But, behold, they'll not believe me.'" God just said, "Moses, I'm with you, and I'm going to help you. But they're not going to believe me, Lord, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" Okay? So chapter 4, verse 2 down through 9, God gives Moses three signs. He gives him three signs. The rod that turns into a serpent. He tells him the hand that he can stick into his robe and it becomes leprous. And he puts it back in, takes it out, and it's white as snow again, perfectly clean again. And then also where he's able to turn water into blood. God gives him three miracles, three awesome things to show that God is with him. But in chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Now, what was wrong with Moses? Did he have some kind of speech impediment? Probably. Probably something along those lines. I'm not sure. But God had already told him, "I'll be with you." "Well, but Lord, but they won't hear me." "Moses, I'm going to give you three miracles to show that I am with you and to show this people." "But Lord, I'm not very eloquent and I'm slow of speech and I just can't do it, Lord." And the Lord said unto him in verse 11, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Wasn't it me that made you, Moses? You don't think I know what's wrong with you? You don't think I know what's wrong with your speech? I'm the one that made that mouth. I'm the one that gave you life and speech. I know what's wrong with you. Go! Don't sit here and worry about what's wrong with you. I'm with you. Go do it. Amen. "Now therefore, go, and I'll be with thy mouth." Here it is again. "I'll be with you." Verse 13, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." The Lord, Moses still didn't have very much confidence. He didn't trust the Lord for the results. In verse 14, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Three times now, God has told Moses that he was going to be with him. And I just want you to keep reading here and notice this. "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith shalt thou do signs." And look at this. And Moses went. If you didn't catch that, I want you to see this. Three times God has said, "Listen, I am with you. I'll be your help. I am with you through this whole thing." And Moses said, "But Lord, I can't. And Lord, I can't trust that. I can't believe that." And here's what God says. "I'm going to send Aaron with you." And you know what? And Moses went. Moses went. As soon as God said, "I'll send Aaron with you," you know what? He quit complaining. Isn't that amazing? Listen, and I would never want to downplay the awesome man that Moses was. Man, I wish that we could have leaders like Moses. I fear that none of us ever can be. He was an awesome man. But man, what a lack of faith here in this passage of Scripture. He had more faith in his brother than he did in God. When God said, "I'll send Aaron with you," Moses shut his mouth and he went. But three times God said, "I'm with you. I'll be with your mouth. I'll help you." Oh, but Lord, he didn't do it. Man, how about us? You know what? That's my kind of faith. That's my kind of faith sometimes. I got more confidence in everybody down here and everybody that's around me. I got more confidence in myself and my abilities than I do in the Lord. Man, he said, "I'm with thee." Do we believe that when we're faithful, the Lord is going to use us? Do we believe that when we'll be faithful, the Lord is going to use our church, use our pastor, use our lives? Do you have confidence in the Lord? Do you believe that when you pray, He'll answer? Do you believe that when you witness to someone that the Lord's going to save them? You believe that? Do you believe that when you witness to someone, you've heard the illustration of Spurgeon, and when one of his young preachers was getting ready to preach, and he preached a message of salvation or some such, and nobody came forward, and nobody was saved, and Spurgeon could see that he was kind of discouraged, and he said, "You know, let's just be honest, though. You don't expect somebody to be saved every time you preach, do you?" And the young man said, "Well, no." Spurgeon said, "That's what your problem is. That's what your problem is. We don't expect it. We do not expect the blessings of God." You know why? Because we don't have confidence in Him. We don't have trust in Him. When's the last time we really expected God to bless? Not just that when we prayed for the blessings, but so many times we pray for the blessings and when we get up off our knees, it leaves our minds. And we don't expect it. We don't expect to see God blessed. We don't expect to see lives saved. We don't expect to see souls added. Do we expect it? Do we have that confidence in the Lord that when we're faithful to His Word and obedient, that He'll bless? Man, what an awe. Do we have confidence in the gospel? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it a bit. It's the power of God unto salvation. Power of God. That's what the gospel is. Do we have confidence in that? Do we have that confidence? And you look at the early church. You look at how 3,000 were saved. And then how 5,000 were saved. And then it quits using thousands and then it starts speaking of great multitudes. It goes beyond using numbers anymore. Great multitudes. When they were doing what the Lord told them to do. You read that. God said to go, to baptize, to teach each one to observe. And when they started to do it, man, souls were added, saved. And God began to bless because they were faithful and they believed what God said. They believed Him. Joash lost sight of that. You know what? Let's have better confidence. Here's what Joash should have done. He should have emptied out his quiver. You know, we should do that. You know what happens when you empty out your quiver? God's got nothing else to use but you. We need to empty ourselves out. We need to empty our quivers out. You know what? I need to get rid of my ideas. Get rid of them. I need to get rid of my plans. You know what? I need to trust God. I just need to believe that when God says He's going to give the victory, that He's going to give the victory. I need to have better confidence and trust and faith in Him and know that, listen, I can empty out my quiver. I can empty out myself and just let God use me. God doesn't need my arrows and God doesn't need my bow. God doesn't need my abilities. He just wants to use me. He just wants to use us when we'll empty ourselves out and just put ourselves in His hands. Boy, Joash, he lost sight of that. He didn't get that whole victory. Because he just wouldn't empty it out. He wouldn't empty out that quiver. You know what? We're like that too. We're like that too. You know what we need to do? We need to empty our quivers. We need to empty ourselves. Our plans, our ambitions, our goals for the work of the Lord. And let God use us. Let God just us. You know that? If you'll say, God, it's just me. Will you use me? He will. When Moses, there on Mount Sinai, when he was speaking with the burning bush, and he said, Oh Lord, who am I? He was ready. He was ready to be used because he wasn't anything. And that's who the Lord uses. He uses people that don't have anything because then He can give it to them. And then He can bless them. Boy, what an awesome message here. I just want you to notice this. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 18. Smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice. He smote three times, okay? And stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Now look at the very last part of 19. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. How much faith do you have? Here's verse 18 and 19. Put them together. Joash shot three arrows off. And you know what? The Lord gave him three arrows worth of victory. Joash had three arrows worth of faith. And God gave him three arrows worth of victory. He smote Syria thrice. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, we'll close with this verse. Matthew chapter 9. Joash had three arrows worth of faith and God gave him three arrows worth of victory. God will bless your faith. But man, let's empty ourselves out. Matthew 9, verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. You know what? Joash got every amount of victory that he had faith for. You think about that. All the faith that Joash had, that's how much victory God gave him. He had three arrows worth of faith. And God gave him three victories. He smote Syria thrice. Boy, we need to have confidence in the Lord. Man, let's trust Him. Let's trust Him for everything. Not confidence in what we can bring to the table. Now, let's not worry that, you know what, well, if we get out on the battlefield, I'm not going to have any arrows. God's promised the victory to you, Joash. Didn't you see that? Man, empty yourselves out. Just make your life a tool in His hands. He smote 3 times, and God gave him 3 victories over Syria. How much faith do you have? God will give you as much victory as you have faith for. If you'll believe Him and you'll put your faith and your trust in Him and His abilities, God will use it. God will use that faith that you have in Him. But where you begin to fall short of faith, haven't you seen in life that's where the victories begin to fall short? As your faith is, so be it unto you. Look at Joash and you see that that's real. And however much faith you've got, that's how much faith the Lord will bless. The Lord will never bless faith that you don't have. He'll never bless faith that you try and cop off of somebody else. Can't buy it from anybody else. But all the faith that you have is all the faith that God will bless. If you have that faith, man, let's have confidence in the Lord. Let's trust Him. He's awesome. And He's promised so much. Let's just start believing it. You know, let's just start believing it. Let's take our bow and let's get ready for the work. But when the Lord says go, let's just empty it out. Let's empty it out and just let Him use us in His hands. Brother Wayne, you come.